Proceed.
Proceed. All right, got it.
Waiting on you.
I mean, I don't have beer, so I'd have to go to, like, a liquor store.
I gotta click some buttons, okay? I gotta click a few buttons.
Dude, buttons are f***ing hard.
You can click my button.
All right, I click the buttons.
That's messed up, dude. Don't have another man click your button.
Hello and welcome to Card Knock Life number 19. I'm your host Corey Murphy here with Daryl Feltner.
What up? What up?
And Nick Keller.
Still a guest host.
Dude, Nick, you're never gonna ascend above guest.
I know.
You have been on. This is the fourth consecutive episode. I think that's enough to be considered a vice host.
Vice host. No, that's worse than a guest host.
Not just vice host.
From now on, Nick will just be referred to as friend of the podcast.
How about sub-host?
I'm less than everybody.
All right, how about friend of the podcast? I think that's respectful. It doesn't promote you beyond your means. It's fine. Friend of the podcast.
Well, you know
some
what?
Some guy though, we picked up a couple weeks ago.
We've made a lot of progress, though, because Nick is now writing stuff into
the
show
notes. Yeah, you're contributing. You actually contribute things to the show notes.
So technically, that makes him a host, an official.
I guess we can make
host.
Him a host. All right. Since he actually contributed.
All right, should we make it official?
Sure.
All right, it's official. You're a vice host.
Mistakes were made. He's going to not show up for like 8 weeks now.
Yep. Yeah, speaking of show notes, there's this one thing in the show notes that I've been skipping over and over and over again, and we're going to do it today, so get ready. It's your public enemy, number one, which means that if you guys choose not to answer this question, you're going to make this really awful.
Awesome. That's exactly what I came to do.
All right, well, now that Nick is vested in the podcast, I hope that you make the right decision.
I don't know. Right. I voted for against it already.
All right, so as a little introduction game here, I want you to say, name one card in whichever format you choose, or one card in each format that you've ever played, that would be considered your public enemy. It's the bane of your existence in that format. So, for example, right now, you might say, Siege Rhino is my public enemy in Standard it kicks my ass all the time.
Siege Rhino is my hero.
But I'm sure that you've all got some, like, you know, notorious, awful day ruiner card that floats around in Legacy or Modern or whatever that you've put up with in the past.
I do.
What do you got, Daryl?
This is gonna sound really hateful, and John Galley, God bless his soul, is gonna hate me.
God rest his soul.
Basic Mountain. I hate Basic Mountain.
Oh man,
I've lost a gajillion games to the Basic Mountain deck.
I've only played like two Basic Mountains, though.
I know, whatever. I played Basic Mountain in my own deck because I didn't want to die to Wasteland, and every time I drawn it, I wanted to like pull it out of the sleeve, rip it up, and eat it, so I never had to play with that Basic Mountain again. I hated it so much. Like,
wow.
Basic Mountain has just been the stone worst for me my entire Magic career, and so I try to avoid it at all costs. I know that's horrible, but...
That's horrible. Daryl, it's going to get even more horrible when they get awakened. And you're just actually getting beaten down with those Basic Mountains.
Oh, please don't remind me of Thoth. Thoth is...
Oh, yeah, Thoth. There you go.
Perfect.
I don't like when mountains turn into men. That's not my thing.
Mountain men?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
All right, moving on. Nick, what do you got?
Urza Tower. That card sucks. I hate that card.
Not a good choice.
Just Urza's Tower?
Just Urza's Tower. I don't care about the other two, because they only make two mana. Like, why does Urza's Tower have to make three? If Urza's Tower made two, Tron would be fine. But turn three Karn is stupid. I hate it.
Well, apparently someone had this conversation once. Hey, these lands kind of suck. Let's make one more mana on this one, and then they'd be playable. Then we'd consider playing those in a deck.
I mean...
Apparently, like, six mana wasn't enough to get out of three lands. That's the problem.
Yeah. Apparently, six mana, three lands is, yeah, that's pretty terrible value.
I mean, it's not great value, because it's all colorless mana, so...
Yeah, I mean, if that sort of thing was printed today, it would have to at least come and play tapped, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What else? You'd probably be taking damage when you tapped it.
Oh, no, it should be legendary.
Someone was there on some kind of crack back in the... Yeah, there you go. They should be legendary.
Yeah.
So that's pretty similar to mine. I was going to say, what was I going to say? Ulamog, or no, what's the big one? Damn Annihilator Eldrazi's Emrakul. Oh man, that's no fun to play against.
Ugin's worse, just because he's like, I'm just gonna destroy everything.
Yeah, but Ugin lets you interact with him. You can deal the damage to kill him.
You get to have lands when they cast Ugin.
Yes.
You don't get lands when they cast Emrakul.
That is true.
What does the card Natural Affinity do?
I have no clue.
Google it.
All right, hang on. Give me
Natural Affinity.
Natural Affinity. You got it?
Yeah. 3 mana, 2 and a green, instant. Until end of turn, all lands become 2/2 creatures that are still lands.
Okay. Then you can -0 your Ugin, and then you can Armageddon.
I think he says non-lands, though.
No, it's permanent.
Or colorless. Non-colorless.
Yeah.
Lands are still colorless, though.
Oh, these ones are. Okay, some of them make your lands green. You're right.
Okay. Or you could just play Painter's Servant.
Yep, Painter's Servant.
Oh my god. All right. Sweet combo. And then you're left with an Ugin on the board.
Oh, you should -0. You have an Ugin and a Painter's Servant.
Yeah.
So that whenever they play a land, you just
-0. And then your plan is to beat down with the Painter's Servant. Just to demoralize them, because you have the opportunity to go up on the Ugin and deal them 3 damage a turn, but just make them pay one damage at a time.
If they don't play a land.
-0 every single turn and just get their
every
land drop.
Right, yeah.
That's right. Well, then you have to play Natural Affinity every time, too. That's an instant.
No. Permanence with more than one color, with one or more colors.
Right. So Painter's Servant changes everything to like a color, so you can -0 it and you don't need to play Natural Affinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're getting their lands every turn, you got to be on it. You got to keep turning them into creatures.
I mean,
no, you don't. They don't.
You don't have to, but if you want to, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh.
Yeah, they're going to be blue creatures. They're going to be blue lands.
I got to RTFC Ugin the Spirit Dragon here.
Yeah.
No, you make them red so that you can play Celestial Purge and Flash Freeze.
There you go.
Command mana cost X or less. That's one or more color. Yeah. Oh man, Painter's Servant and Ugin.
Mm-hmm.
That's in modern deck right there. Let's make it
happen. Welcome to the party that we've been at for the past 3 minutes. Thanks for coming.
Hey, your party's better than mine in the other room. Mine had a lot of confusion.
God. You're the reason we don't have nice things.
Now we all have nice things that we found this sweet combo. Let's make it happen. All right, let's go to the spoilers. Schmerzlik Wahrheit.
What?
All right. How about trying it in English, because they give you an English translation.
Painful Truths. 2 and a black for a sorcery. Converge. Draw X cards, lose X life, or X is the number of colors spent to cast it. It is a mediocre skeletal scrying.
It is, in fact, exactly skeletal. It's better than skeletal scrying. Because skeletal scrying... Yeah, so for 3 mana on skeletal scrying, you have to exile 2 cards from your graveyard to draw 2. On this, it's 3 mana, draw 3 cards.
Okay.
Lose 3 life.
Well, let's not compare it to Skeletal Scrying, because that's also an instant. So I'm gonna compare it to Ambition's Cost. You think it's better than Ambition's Cost? Draw 3 for 4 mana. Sorcery.
Yeah, because it's 3 mana.
Okay, gotcha. So, but it's got to be played in a 3-color deck, which is
absolutely
doable. This I could see played in Modern. What about you?
Not Modern. I think Legacy is better for it.
Legacy?
So there are some decks in Modern that like play the lose 2, draw 2 cards.
Yep.
So, I mean, theoretically, I could see if they need to go long, if that's their, like, go long card, then they could play this card instead. And it would be a little bit easier on their mana, because most of those cards are black-black. Knight's Whisper isn't, but if you need to go a little longer, like, you can sub Knight's Whisper out for this card. So, because a lot of times your life doesn't matter in those decks, so 2 life versus 3 life, not really relevant. This could be, like, a one-of in control decks in Standard.
Okay.
Because I think you're gonna play like, if you play like a blue black control deck, you're going to play like some number of the blue black green tap land just as another source of blue black mana, so that you have, you know, X number of dual lands, or X like 10 or 12. So you have 8 that come into play untapped in, or 4 that come into play tapped in your big game land. 4 that can come into play untapped in your your check lands. I call them check lands because it's much easier. And then like 2 just come into play tapped that provides you that third color for your 3 mana draw 3, essentially.
All right.
So.
Well, people are talking about putting this in like Grixis Control, Grixis Delver in Modern.
I don't think so. Just because you don't have like the luxury to tap out on turn 3 to do quote unquote nothing.
Yep.
And then die to Twin, yeah.
Right, and then die to Twin, or like die to Burn, die to Infect, die to like anything. I think in Legacy, I think it's much more playable, A, because you don't have Shocklands, so like that 3 life doesn't matter as much.
Yep.
And B, you have like Force Will backup, so like you can do like resolve this and be tapped out and then like not die to combo next turn. Yeah. And then like you also have like Deathrite Shaman to like activate like, this turn too.
Like drawing 3 cards is super powerful in Legacy. Like, correct. That, this card I think can be a 2 of in the right decks.
Cool.
I think it might be able to give Shardless Bug the ability to kind of move away from Ancestral Visions, which is also a draw 3. No life loss drawback, but like it's a super subpar card to have in your deck because it's so slow. It's blue, so it pitches the Force Will, but like, and it synergizes more with Shardless Agent than, you know, this card. But
okay,
the question is, how soon do you want your cards? Do you want them on turn 3, or do you want them on turn 5?
Well, last scenario for you then. Read the Bones is still in standard. Is it yep. better than Read the Bones, where you can potentially see 4 cards and
nope.
2 life?
Nope.
Nope, it's not? Okay, so it's Read the Bones is just going to totally outclass it while it's in standard.
Yes? I think so.
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think drawing a third card... Scry 2 is worth a card. Like, I would not cast a card that says Scry 2, but I would... I think that the value of Scrying 2 on a draw spell like that is... sufficiently worth a card.
Yeah. And then
Read the Bones is lose 2 life or 3 life?
It is 2. Lose 2 life, scry 2, and then draw.
Okay, I think Read the Bones is probably better then.
So I think I'm gonna actually agree with you guys on all accounts here. I don't think that this sees any play in modern. I don't know about
I can
Legacy.
See it as like a 1 of in like Jund.
In Jund. Yeah. Okay. That's possible.
That's where I see just the Legacy styling too, is like a 1 or 2 of in a Jund deck or
right,
right.
Like turn 6, you can cast it and like have like Decay back up, so then you don't lose the Twin. But
and you need not... to just like the raw card advantage for Liliana discard stuff, right?
Right,
but not like... Legacy, but in Modern, yeah.
Well, we're talking Jund.
Yeah, in Legacy for Jund, you have Punishing Fire.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Legacy. Rebuy your Punishing Fires and discard them to Liliana.
Okay, and then last. Comment about this one. I'm on the Magic Salvation page, and right below it is Read the Bones and Sign in Blood. And I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but any card that like you pay life and draw cards has a hand in the picture. So does Skeletal Scrying. Is that cool. Like some kind of cheeky little pun about putting a card in your hand?
No.
Okay. All right. That's it.
That's,
on.
That's how the artist decided to portray it.
Is that not funny? I mean, like, everything is got the general idea of human. All right, moving on. Here we go. Obnixilis, Reignited. 5 mana for a 5 loyalty planeswalker. +1 is you draw a card, lose 1 life. -3, destroy target creature. And -8, target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a player draws a card, you lose 2 life.
Dude, where have you been? This thing's been spoiled for like 2.5 weeks.
I know, this one's old, but we didn't talk about it. So really fast, what do you think, Daryl?
I think it's fine. I think it's a reasonable card for control. Okay. Being able to, like... Phyrexian Arena every turn. Phyrexian Arena is a super powerful card.
Yep.
Being able to murder 2 things for 5 mana. So, like, you get a Phyrexian Arena and you have 2 murders.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good because just destroy target creature is reasonably powerful. So, I mean, 5 mana for the first one is a little overcosted, but then you get to draw a card and then get the second one, assuming they don't kill it. And if it's, like, 5 mana, kill your guy, and then, like, fog them, that's fine, too. So I think it's pretty reasonable on that front. The emblem, not great.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. Nick?
I think this is going to go really well in any, like, Siege Rhino deck. Turn 4 Siege Rhino, turn 5 this guy, and you win the game.
Oh baby.
Siege Rhino
offsets
the life cost.
All right. I can get behind that.
I see that scenario being, like, the only way that this guy is playable. And, like, at most, like, maybe 1 or 2 of them in the deck. I mean, obviously, you don't want to go too high on this guy. He's a 5 cost planeswalker. But the -3 ability is very good. It destroys a creature, but it's a -3 ability. And that's like, that's one of the steepest minus abilities you have on any planeswalker, aside from like a -X. And typically, you see those on the guys that come in with like 7 plus loyalty, like all the big guys.
Elspeth like came in with 4.
Well, Elspeth's ability, though, her -3, though, it deals with a lot more stuff. You know, like
if you
kill 1
creature,
more cards.
Vraska.
Yeah.
This is a literal parallel to Vraska, because Vraska came in with the same number of loyalty counters, and its +1 was much worse.
Did she destroy a permanent for her -3?
She destroyed a non-creature, or a non-land permanent. So no, she could get like an enchantment or something.
What was her plus one? Her
plus one is she gets that touch. Yeah. Whatever creatures attack her, they die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
So the problem with this guy is he, like, the way he protects himself is he kills one creature and then he sets himself to two loyalty counters, which means that, like, their, like, mana dorks can finish him off then. And so five mana sorcery speed removal.
That's two or three damage you didn't take. So So you're basically giving a fog and a murder, essentially.
I guess. I don't know.
And
I think
if it lives, you draw a card, and if it lives, you get a second murder.
I think
so you're getting six or seven mana worth of effects. I think you have to look at, like, immediately up front, you get three mana of effects plus, like, a harm's way. So that's another mana, or healing self, another mana, so four mana.
Yeah.
So you're kind of priced out and undercosted at, and overcosted at one activation.
Okay.
So the second activation, you get a black mana worth of abilities in draw a card, lose life, because Sign of Blood and Night's Whisper are both draw two, lose two.
Yeah.
So you're getting a black mana worth of abilities. So we've recouped another black mana. So we're at one black. And if they attack it, then that's, but you've basically drawn a fog or a healing valve. So you're at five mana, you net even.
Yeah.
And then if you get the second murder, you go up plus two. If you get the second card draw, you're net even with a four mana, with a four loyalty planeswalker and another three mana spell basically sitting on top of it. So you're like, as the card sits in play, you're kind of getting back your net. But it has to activate twice to get back to five mana in one way or another.
Okay.
And, like, this is worst case scenario, too. Like, if you have any sort of creatures, like, it doesn't need to protect itself too much. If you have, say, you have three creatures and you have one and then you slam this guy down.
Yeah. Like if you go see Trino into this guy against, like, a board full of 3/3s, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, you murder their guy and then they have to attack both guys at Obnixilis and you block and you eat another one with a Siege Rhino. And then the third one kills Obnixilis, but that's three damage you didn't take. So you basically cast two murders anyways because they had to attack into your Siege Rhino.
Yeah.
Or you get to keep doing the same, or you get to keep drawing cards and putting them further behind your Siege Rhino. So I think this card is very reasonable in shells that can put 4/5s in front of it, or 4/4s or 3/4s. So like I think that this card will be extremely, extremely reasonable in the Abjin shell, just because you have Tasigur and Siege Rhino you can put in front of it. I think a Sultai style deck that could just put a bunch of like zombie tokens into play from Sidisi, or you know, a bunch of random knuckleheads
Sidisi
in front of this guy
is Sidisi still around?
Okay. Yeah, the Brutarian. Yeah,
gotcha.
So like you could just put Sidisi into play, trigger it, make a zombie, and just put a bunch of knuckleheads in front of this guy.
Yeah,
that seems perfectly fine too. So, I mean, I think as long as, like, I think this can be played in control decks, but I think it's much weaker in control decks.
I think the pure card advantage math makes it a little bit appealing because it's, you know, it's one card. If you do the -3, you're destroying a creature. That's a threat, right? So that's 1/1 there. And then if they're playing a removal spell on the on your Obnixilis, then you're one for two.
You're going two for one, right?
But the I don't know, like, I'm still concerned about the cost, and I'm still concerned about the fact that that's a -3. It takes a lot of effort to get back up to a reasonable loyalty where you're not, like, in shock territory, you know? So, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to just, like, make a bold claim before I move on here. Kiora's going to see more play than this guy in Standard.
Boom. 0%. I disagree completely.
0%.
All right, let's go on. How about Crumble to Dust? You guys know this one. This is the 3 in red sorcery, Devoid. Exile target non-basic land.
The strictly better,
sowing cell. Yep. Yeah. So is it strictly better enough for it to replace other Tron answers in modern? In
1000% strictly better than sowing cell. If any deck is playing sowing cell, they're playing this instead because the key line on this card is that it gets the spell that land from their hand. So they can't break a map and go get another tower when you kill their tower, which is the only one they have in play, and hide a tower in their hand and then replay it. They can't do that. So that's strictly better than Sowing Salt by a mile.
Sowing Salt can get it from their hand, too.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can.
It can? Am I just, like, the worst?
Yes, you are correct, Corey.
It is
Urgent Controller's Graveyard, Hand, and Library for all cards the same name as that land.
Oh, sick. So I just never played this card correctly.
So the strictly better part is
splashable.
Three in red, yep.
Yeah, splashable.
Okay, does that make a difference, though, is what I'm saying? Does that make a difference in having more Sowing Salt, or I should say Crumble to Dust in people's sideboard over like things like Blood Moon or Fulminator Mage?
No, it's still four mana.
So the decks that play Blood Moon
Yep.
Will just play Blood Moon because they back it up with pressure. The decks that play Fulminator Mage, it's debatable because a lot of them are like, unless it's Living End, so you look at like the Kolaghan's Command decks that are playing Fulminator Mage, they're like Fulminator Mage you, and then like wait a couple turns, try to Kolaghan's Command it back and Fulminator Mage you, which is just like too slow.
Yep.
So this might be better for those decks. Plus it's a Snapcast Verbal target, so you can get two of them. So you might see the Grixis Twin decks or the Grixis decks playing Crumble to Dust. Because So-and-so was too hard on the mana to have to make double red. The Twin decks, it didn't hurt as much, but the Grixis, like, Delver decks and Pyromancer decks didn't really ever want double red. They wanted to, like, put a bunch of blue lands on the board.
Alright, one quick thing to note about this one is it removes the target land, it removes from graveyard, it removes from hand and library, but it doesn't remove other lands of that type that are in play. So if your Tron opponent has two towers out and you hit one of the towers, the other one stays in play.
Correct.
It's true of Song of Salt as well, but I'm just mentioning.
Yeah, I don't think it'll see much modern play. Like, the reason it doesn't see play in modern Song of Salt is because it's too slow. Four mana, like, by the time you reach four mana, it doesn't matter if they've already hit at least three lands, so they've already assembled Tron.
I think it's double red, in all honesty. I think Song of Salt would see more play at not double red.
Okay. Blood Moon sees play because, like, on the play, you can get that out before they can get Tron out, but, like, there's no way you can cast this before there's Tron out. Like, there's a way if they stumble on Tron, but, like...
Have you heard of the card Noble Hierarch?
Yes, but, like, nobody plays Noble Hierarch in Modern except, like, me.
Have you seen every single deck that's playing Court of Calling? Because I'm pretty sure those decks are playing Noble Hierarch.
That's, like, not even a percent of the meta.
Or Birds of Fact.
Infect isn't going to play it. Like, this deck, like, there's a reason why, like, Sowing Salt doesn't see play, and this isn't going to, like, magically make this card playable because it's not double red.
Right.
It's because it doesn't answer Tron soon enough. Like, four mana to answer Tron is not fast enough.
Right, so
by any stretch of the imagination.
What is it, Molten Rain?
Molten Rain is probably
just better, right?
Maybe, but, like, yeah.
It
like,
speeds at up that their point, clock, like, and it takes care of one of the, you know, one of the trifecta.
Yes, I would argue Molten Rain is probably better just because it's... I mean, it's. I think you should probably play the dude instead, whatever.
Fulminator Mage?
Yeah. But I don't think this will see, like, any... This will replace exactly where Sowing Salt was being played, which is, like, next to nothing.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to see this in Modern at all.
All right. Let's make this a fast one here. Horribly Awry. This is the one in a blue... remove soul, counter target creature spell, four or less, and then it's exiled. So, first of all, standard play. I mean, this is a pretty reasonably casted and reasonably costed and splashable counter spell that hits a lot of the threats in standard. What it doesn't hit is what, like, your Tassigers and any of the big Delve guys. It doesn't hit
Tassigar, Wingmate Rock, Whisperwood Elemental, any Dragon Lord,
any big Eldrazi's.
So is it too specific, or do you think it's going to see play?
I think it's a sideboard card. I think it's a sideboard card against aggro.
Okay.
Or, like, against the Siege Rhino decks.
Siege Rhino, yeah. Like the Deathmist Claw Raptor, whatever the hell that card is.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. Oh, that thing gets exiled. That's pretty good.
I think it's exiled, so that's pretty
also
huge.
Also good against Morph. So, I mean, you get the Gen Protectors and any other Morph creatures that might see play, Rattlepaw Mystic, etc.
All right, Eternal formats at all? I mean, obviously not Legacy. People talk about Modern on this one, but I don't see it.
No. Actually,
no.
I could see it if you're in the market for a Moon Soul, because there's only one creature that really sees play in Modern, besides like the Delve guys, that doesn't get exiled by this, and that's Keranos.
But you want to remove, like, Remove Soul doesn't see any play, and, like,
this is a strict downgrade to it. Doesn't exile the creature.
What creature needs to be gets exiled Modern, though? Like,
Have you read the card Kolaghan's Command?
Sure, but, like, that's a very narrow situation where I would be playing
a very large percent of the meta in Modern, though.
Sure, but, like, it's not worth playing a bad counterspell for.
Right, but it counters most of the Modern threats, so it's not bad. That's the thing. Is like, all of the threats in Modern that are creatures are going to get hit by this. And it has the upside of exiling them for no interaction with the opponent.
I mean, Tasigur and Angler are pretty huge in the modern as well. Like, if you're arguing that you're playing this for Kolaghan's Command, then, like, that's also countering against your argument that the decks that play Kolaghan's Command are playing Angler and Tasigur.
All right, hold on. I'm going to do things you guys can do.
All right, we're going on to the next one. I think we're going to agree on this one, so we'll make it quick. Brutal Expulsion. I want this to be good.
And I don't
it's
know
always fun to
is.
Have choice cards, but here we go. It's 2 blue, red, instant, devoid.
Oh, this Four card! Mana. I'm yep. so sad.
Choose
about
one or both,
card.
Return target spell or creature to its owner's hand. Or it deals 2 damage to target creature or planeswalker. If it would be put into graveyard this turn, exile it. So it's very, very weak for the cost.
I cannot tell you how unbelievably sad I am that this card is devoid.
Yeah. Oh, really? Why? Oh, because it's gold?
Yeah, because it's so good. So it's a clean answer to Kitchen Face, a clean answer to Murderous Red Cap, a clean
oh, so you
answer
like it.
To Voice of Resurgence, yes.
Yeah, I
and
see that.
It's a good way around Cavern of Souls because it bounces their Primeval Titans on the stack. It bounces Splinter Twins on the stack. You can also bounce the creature off the board if you need to tempo them. So it's basically Venter's ability, which you can mark at 3 mana, I think, because being able to spin a spell off the stack is actually pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And then Magma Spray, which is very underutilized in Modern. And so I would love to be playing like 2 of this in my 5 color control deck. So I'm very sad it has no colors. But
it's really close to Venser. It's really close to Venser, but it can only bounce a creature or a spell. Venser can hit a permanent or a spell, which makes a difference when it's a walker.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't make a difference. But the ability is very powerful.
Yeah.
And I think you underrate that. So I personally, I could see playing 1 in some decks in Modern.
Like Grixis Control or what?
Yeah, Grixis Control, Splinter Twin. Like it's Cryptic Command-ish, and it helps you with the aggro matchups. So like it moves a creature off the table and then counters their spell for like a remand. It's a remand where all you draw is Magma Spray. So, I mean, I'm not offended by that.
Yeah, I don't see why this can't target a player, too. I don't think that would be overpowered for its cost.
That's the whole Magma Spray thing. They want you to target exactly creatures with it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be Magma Spray, though. It can be just a little bit better, and then I think it would be playable. But the fact that you can't target a player, there's just so many times where it's just a 4-mana unsummon, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to get back to this freaking argument about...
All right, rewind.
The remove soul with exile. There
okay.
is exactly 2 creatures in the top 30 the top 30 creatures of Modern. There are 3 creatures that have a CMC greater than 4, and they are played in basically 1 deck, a couple decks, and 1 deck, and they are Siege Rhino, Tasker, and Brain. Every other creature in the top 30 creatures of Modern has a CMC less than 4. Siege Rhino gets played as 2. So it's literally Tasigur and Primeval Titan in the top 30 creatures. So I'm willing to take my chances with getting the upside of exile and then with Kolaghan's Command and being able to counter 28 of the top 30 creatures in Modern.
Right, but
so,
the decks that are playing Kolaghan's Command are playing the 2 out of the 3 top 30. So like it's...
No, they're playing 1 out of the 2 that doesn't get exiled. Gurmag Angler isn't in the top 30.
Oh.
Gurmag Angler isn't even in the top 50.
They are playing Gurmag Angler. Though that's not
right,
necessarily your Kolaghan's Command target.
Yeah.
Well, I guess occasionally it is, but you want to get your snaps, you want to get your...
Correct. You want to get your Young Pyromancers.
Young Pyromancers?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And Grixis Control?
Yeah. But no, so yeah, Gurmag Angler isn't even in the top 50. So of the targets in the top 50... There's Wyrmcoil Engine at 37 that doesn't get hit by it. The 2 of the Living End creatures, which don't count because they're never getting cast. Another Living End creature in Street Wraith. Primeval Titan and Tasigur. So 3 realistically castable creatures. The rest of them all get countered by this spell. I think it's fine.
What's Remove Soul's rank in Modern?
Remove Soul isn't getting played at all. But all right. I think the Exile... I literally think that the exile portion of that spell has enough power to be like a one of in sideboards against like Kolaghan's Command decks, and then like decks that are trying to gain a little extra value out of their creatures being their graveyards. So,
well, all right, Daryl. So I mean, like Jund is a Kolaghan's Command deck, and Grixis Control is a Kolaghan's Command deck. Jund wants to just get raw power out of their yard when they play a Kolgan's Command. And if you play one of these counterspells in your sideboard versus their three Kolgan's Command and like handful of creatures that are in there, I don't think it's really enough to make an impact on the game state there.
That's fair. I just think that like the ability for this card to play as a literal counterspell, like a literal removal that has upside, I think is completely playable. Because like the things that are beating you in Modern, 90% of the time aren't spells, they're creatures.
Yeah, I don't know.
So.
Alright, I got one more for you here, and then we're going to move on. Unless you guys have other spoilers to talk about. But let's hit Drana, Liberator of Malakir. I know what you guys already think about this, but let's consider the options here. It's one black, black.
One? Oh, no, this
no,
one.
No, okay. It's the black creature. One black, black. Yep. 2/3, Flying First Strike, Vampire Nighthawk without lifelink. When it deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on each attacking creature you control. So obviously, you do the first strike damage, and put the counter on your creatures, and then they deal the regular damage. What do you think?
Okay, in standard, unplayable everywhere else.
Okay, I should also note it's a legendary creature.
Agreed.
Unplayable everywhere else. Okay, it's an ally also. Didn't even notice that.
Oh, that's fancy. That's
still
fancy.
Unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah, still unplayable. I have a couple that I just saw that caught the control player in me's eye. Some of them are just like super close to being good, or like this one. One of them will be like the new cancel, and then like there's one that's like I think is very excellent and will see an underrated amount of play until people start playing the card.
All right.
So okay. Scatter to the Winds is just cancel with Awaken. It's like four.
The rare. It's, oh yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, well. One blue. Cancel, 6 mana, awaken 3, so it makes it 3/3.
Yes.
I don't think the awaken cost is good on this one. Okay. I think it's like a drawback that you'll never use.
It's a draining whelk.
I mean, it's a really weak draining whelk.
Yeah, it is. It's a bad draining whelk, but it's a draining whelk. But it's a draining whelk where you can evoke, you know?
Correct.
Basically.
Yeah, if it was awaken 4, that would be
If it was awaken 4, it'd be a lot better than 3.
Yeah.
But remember that Lightning Bolt is not a thing in standard.
No, but I mean, like still 4/4 is pretty huge compared to like 3/3s. Like yeah, there's lots of 3/3s.
The clock difference.
Okay.
Complete disregard. 2 and a black, instant, devoid, exile target creature with power 3 or less. Why can't this be a 2-mana spell? Why can't this be smothered? Like, why can I not just have a 2-mana exile target creature with power 3 or less?
Yeah, this set is kind of like the strictly worst set. I think people were saying that about MTGO, but I'm feeling that about this one.
It's so close. Like, if this was a 2-mana spell, this card would be bonkers. But unfortunately, it's a 3-mana spell. So you'll play it as like a 1 or 2 in your control deck, and you'll be so sad every time it's in your opening hand and it's a 3-mana spell instead of a 2-mana spell.
Do you guys think that, like, Battle for Zendikar gets the impression that, like Devoid is such an upgrade to a card that it's worth, like, paying an extra mana for it or having it just be, like, one unit shittier than, like, the actual original?
I mean, that's what they're doing, essentially. That's the story they're trying to tell.
It feels like Legends. Like, back in Legends when you had, like, gold creatures for the first time and it was, like, you had, like, all these way overcosted creatures just because they were gold. And for some reason, it was kind of played off like that was a good thing. Like, it was good to have a gold creature when, in fact, it just limited the amount of decks you could play it in. You're paying, like, 6 mana for a 6/4 or whatever.
So, all right. We're back on to my next mediocre card.
All right.
That's good, but close. Scour from Existence.
Ugh.
The 7-mana exile target permanent.
Oh, God, yeah.
This one's, like, 2 mana too many. So, like, Utter End is fine at 4 mana for a non-land permanent, but it's 2 colors. Like, if this was, like, just 5-colorless exile any permanent, this would be completely fine, and you can kill Awakened lands and man lands and planeswalkers and gods in some formats. But 7 mana is just like just 1 or 2 too many. Like, it's close. It's so close.
Yep.
But that effect is super powerful. It just, I wish it was like 5 mana. This card would be really good at 5 mana, and I think it would be a rare. But come on, 5 mana.
I think you have to make it a sorcery then at 5 mana. But yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, Utter End is 4, and it's pretty much the same effect in 2 colors. So
yeah, but like that 2 colors is a huge hindrance, and like getting a land is also huge. So I think
5 is
dropping.
Fine.
Like you know, like because you're just dropping it 2 colors out of a casting cost is pretty huge.
I think it's fine at 5. don't know. I'd have to see it played at five, but it's so close. And then the card that I think is going to be blatantly underthought of, but will be insanely good, is Blighted Cataract.
Yep, I knew you were going there. Man, I forgot about that one. I totally agree. That card's awesome.
What was that one?
It's a land that taps for colorless, and it's
six mana,
tap, sack, draw two cards. Like, so people that haven't played control decks don't know how it feels to flood just infinitely viciously because your land plays like five more decks, or your deck plays five more lands than everyone else. Because, like, in standard, you have to play a shitty number of lands, like 27, 28 lands, and it's horrible. So, like, this card is like a two or three of, where, like, your land comes to play untapped, and yeah, it only makes colorless, so it's a little rough on your mana base, but, like, at some point when you're flooding and you have a bunch of lands in your hand, you just go, all right, sweet, I'll draw two cards, and I have a land to replace that thing, it just doesn't matter. And I can keep on soldiering on. Like, that's gonna be really big for control decks. And, like, in the control mirrors, you'll have this card in your sideboard. So that when you play the mirror, you can board in more draw twos that are just lands and sit and play. So, like, this card, I think, will be criminally undervalued by people that don't play control. And then the people that play control are like, this is our savior. Even though it's not really. But I think the card is very good.
Is this going to be playable in, like, Esper? Or are you only limited to, like, blue-black because you want to be playing, like, two or three of these?
I think depending on what, like, your mana looks like, you can play as Esper. Like, if it's, like, blue-black splash or blue-white splash, like, and the splash is, like, a light touch, then you can do it. But if you're, like, trying to cast a double blue spell on turn two and then, like, a double black spell on turn three and, like, a couple turns later you want to cast a double white spell, you're not playing this card. This card is not for you, my friend. But, like, if you're like, I got a double black spell on three and a double blue spell on three, and then, like, turn seven, I want to cast the Dragon Lord Ojutai. You could maybe get away with one or two of these. And then if you just wanted to play, like, the full four, you'd be like,
just go blue-black.
Blue-black or blue-white, whichever one you feel, or blue-red, like, just one color. And so, like, or if you actually did this another way, you could splash blue into your decks and play this as, like, another payoff to splashing blue.
So you're saying, like a junk deck splash blue?
Yeah, like, well, junk, that's a little aggressive. The fourth color is aggressive. But, like, say you're playing, like, a green-red ramp deck. You could splash blue and get this card. Because, you know, six mana in your ramp deck, that's turn three or four. You could cast this on turn five, play another land, and then, like, you know, if you have nothing to do on turn five, like, if they countered your, like, first couple of threats, you can cash this land in and then, like, at the end of their turn, then untap and have a threat. So I think this is playable as a splash color in ramp decks. So something to think about on that side as well.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I think the card will be much better than people give it credit for. Plus, if you're playing the ramp decks and you need to find an uncounterable source of card draw, because I assume the ramp decks will be playing Sylvan Scrying, you can Sylvan Scrying for your Blighted Cataracts and put it in the play. So that's not something to also ignore. That when you draw your Sylvan Scrying on turn two and you need a specific land, like you need a tri-land to hit your color or whatever, you can go get that. And then, like, on turn seven or eight, when you draw your shitty Sylvan Scrying, you can Sylvan Scrying for Blighted Cataract and play Blighted Cataract and pass turn and then draw two cards, untap, draw another card, and sort of try and pull your ramp deck into drawing more threats. So that's, like, a one or two of their ramp decks to play. I think the card's really good. I think people are going to be impressed by it when they start playing with it.
All right.
All right, I'm done. Go? I'm done, yeah.
Okay.
I just got one. Let's Return do it. To Coral Helm. It's a blue enchantment for two and a blue. It's the same cycle as all the other retreats.
Yep.
Landfall, whenever a land enters battlefield, choose one. Either scry one or tap or untap target creature. I was brewing with this today with Knight of the Reliquary. Ooh. And you can get a turn three kill with, like, a turn one Noble Hierarch.
All right, I'm listening.
So, like, turn one Noble Hierarch, turn three, or turn two Knight of the Reliquary, turn three Retreat, and then you just, like, fetch all your fetches, get all your basics. Yep. And then you play, like, a one of Stomping Ground. Good stomping ground for a Cassock Wolf run, and then you get there.
That's fancy. I like where your head's at.
So, been trying to brew that up. I don't know how to, like, I don't know if I want to go, like, all in combo or if I want to play, like, a bad zoo list.
So, I'm going to take it one more Eternal format deeper. So, Noble Hierarch into Knight of the Reliquary into this card. Play a fetch land, tap your knight, sack your land, go get a Dark Depths. Float a man, or fetch your land, float a mana, put a land into play, float a mana. Fetch it away, or sack your land, go get Thespian Stage.
Yep.
Make it 2020.
Nice.
Seems all right. This or just card, like make four wastelands?
This one's just asking
four wastelands? You can't make four wastelands. You have to have a bunch of lands in play to do that.
Well, you can activate, if you have two savannas and a forest, you can activate those and...
Yeah, on turn three, you can make
three just wastelands. Waste them. Yeah.
Yeah, turn three, make three wastelands, untap. Attack you for 6, 7, probably 10, 8, 9, 10-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, this is not horrible either. Like, but we are in a place where, like, these are, like, I think it's bad. But, I want it to be good. Like,
but so it's, like, comparable to, like, the combo is comparable to Splinter Twin. But it's like a worse combo, but like the pieces are much better on their own.
Right. Yes, right. The pieces are much better on their own.
So you heard it here first. Buy your Knight of the Reliquary before they spike.
I mean, I want this to be really good. I just want to be able to like turn two, turn three, retreat to Coral Helm, and just like jam a Dark Depths token into play at the end of their turn. Just be like, I'm gonna tutor up a Dark Depths. Suck it. And if you kill my Dark Depths, whatever. I have like a 10-10 Knight of the Reliquary attack you. Play a land, untap it, go. Like,
it seems all right. It seems like it can be broken. I don't know if it's going to. Because like the problem is you have to play four of these bad cards then. So.
Ooh, and you could put it in some sort of like Natural Order shell and Natural Order for Progenitus?
If you want to, go right ahead.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this card is a cool card.
We can get really fancy. I like where your head's at.
It's the cheapest one, too. I mean, I guess the cheapest one is all their four, three costs.
They're all three drop, yeah.
But it's a good price to pay for that. I think that's very right.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
The white one costs four.
It's not fancy. You can't get a turn two Natural Order off of this card. That's what I was trying to forget if you do. Oh. It's not possible.
Sad.
Because it costs... You can get an easy turn three. Like, turn one Dork, turn two... Retreat, turn three, make a mana, play a land, untap your Dork, make a mana, Natural Order with Spell Pierce backup?
Sure.
I'm sure.
Doesn't seem worth it.
You can also do it with Dryad Armor, which is kind of fancy.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes you just gotta live the dream, man. Sleep all day and live the dream.
I mean, it's not even like bad if you have two out in the field. You can like scry two after you play a land, so that's not terrible.
Also, not the worst, not the best.
No, but like if you're playing, you have to play four of them is the problem. So like you get to scry a lot with two of them out.
Yeah, playing four of them is lay bad. But
yeah, but it's not a like. Twin plays four.
They can't block. Oh,
they can't block. Well played, Corey. That is also. A thing. Touche.
Yeah, I just don't know what kind of shell I want to put it in. I was thinking Dig Through Dudes. Oh, sorry, not Dig Through Dudes. It's called a collected company. Coco. We call it Dig Through Dudes.
you are all up on that Coco.
Hey, that sounds like the name of a strip club, doesn't it? Why do we call it
Why do we call it Manlands?
Hey, I can see an infinite combo with Paducah Gardener.
What the hell does that card do?
Is that the...
That's any card that taps to put a land into play from your hand.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of land, draw a card?
Okay, I'm gonna go super, super deep.
Okay, where are you going?
With Amulet of Vigor.
Okay.
Amulet of Vigor, Paducah Gardener, tap, put a land into play, put a bounce land into play, untap your bounce land, pick it up, untap your Paducah Gardener.
Infinite mana.
Yeah, that's... Kill them however you want, but we have done it. Infinite mana, you've heard it here first.
So
I book it into Charbelcher, because with the... Knight combo, you can get rid of all your lands and then like play Tribelcher if they have like an answer to the knight.
Oh, that's fancy.
Is that modern legal?
Yeah, it is.
Modern legal. That's... Like I'm going all in on this, and this is pretty terrible.
That's pretty fancy, actually. Well, no, it's actually not 4 E play because you can like literally get all the lands out of your deck.
Right.
And then like float mana off of them along the way. You'll have plenty of mana to cast Starbelt. You're like, that's okay. I'm in. I'm not sold, but I'm in.
I'm not sold either, but it's a thing.
But I'm in. I'm still. How much does Paducah Gardener? Is it a one mana spell or a two mana spell?
One mana spells.
I mean, I'm just trying to think if you can curve like Amulet into Paducah Gardener into their deck.
Yes.
You can
do anything that you set your mind to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fancy. I like where this is going.
All right. You guys ready close out the spoiler section so we can move on?
I'm done.
All right.
I'm done, I think.
I got some quick chatter for you before I close my stuff.
You got me thinking about this stupid card now.
So, Nick stood me up this weekend at the GP trial in Madison.
What a jerk.
I'm sorry.
But I still played. And I played Grixis Control because I didn't have my
blue white deck. Did you lose because you played Grixis?
No, I top 8'd. But did you? I did. How many people? There's about 40 people, maybe.
That's pretty solid.
30 people, maybe. 30 to 40. I don't know. But I lost in the first round to blue-white control. And it was Care that was playing it. And he had a really sweet deck that Ooh. Ended up Care. Daryl knows Care, right? From Mox Mania. Yeah. So he sided into like two Tezzerets in his deck and Cavern of Souls. And so he's like playing his Tezzerets off of Cavern of Souls. Because you name Wizard. Tezzeret's a wizard. Tezzeret. Not Tezzeret. What am I trying to say?
You're Teferi.
Teferi's a wizard. Ooh. Okay, Teferi's a wizard. Snapcaster's a wizard. He had Glenelendra Archmage.
We've in fact gone to the blackest man in Magic.
Yeah, it was nuts. He kicked my ass with that because I can't do anything when there's a Teferi on the field.
Teferi is so good. If you've also never lived the dream and legacy of Teferi plus Caracas plus Cavern, you have not yet lived.
Yep.
Because that card is actually unkillable.
Yeah, so I added some to my sideboard now because I liked it so much.
That's awesome. Teferi is very good. Like, criminally underplayed.
And then I actually played a match against Jund, which was Jack. Hi, Jack. And
how was that?
Jund, well, I lost to Jund recently, and now I have a different opinion on Jund. But when I played it, I was like, hey, this is a really good matchup for my control deck. And I was like kicking his butt. And I had, the way mine is built, it seemed to fare pretty well. So really? Jund picks apart your hand, right? And usually that causes a lot of problems for me. But I'm running like a main deck Maldrifter in my deck. Because Kolaghan's Command.
Oh my god, you're such a savage that you drew the Vulture for every time.
Obviously. Yeah, I did. And I didn't evoke it. I actually cast it in one game, and he was like, oh my god, game over. He just scooped.
Yeah. I have Pretty to much. Kill this 2/2, and you drew two cards, and then you're going to Kolaghan's Command.
You can't even abrupt decay that 2/2.
No, sir, you cannot.
So another matchup I played against Infect. I beat Infect, but the guy that was playing Infect got... you got a turn one, I don't know, infect creature, doesn't matter what it was. I killed it, and then I played a Vendilion Cleek and took his last infect creature out of his hand. But what he had left... What's that?
He drew an infect creature?
No, he had one infect creature in his hand and three pump spells. And the pump spells were Become Immense, and they were two of the cards that give your creature +4/+4 if you play it during your main phase.
Right. So you tied to a
and
noble.
He had two spell skites in play. Spell skite doesn't have defender. So I could see on the table, I was at 17 life. He had 6+4+4. That's 14 damage, right? And I'm like, okay, no problem. Like, I'm going to survive this attack. And then I just, like, answer all of his other infect creatures. I can just counter him. And so he did go for it. And there was one card that he had in his hand that I didn't know about because it was Vendilion Cleek, right? He draws. And that card happened to be the pay 2 life Phyrexian mana +2/+2 Eugenic spell.
So yeah, you took 16.
That was 16, and he brought me down to 1 with his attack, right? And I had no idea that he had that in his hand. With Xaxis, exact mana, he had to pay the 2 life for it. So I was playing this game from behind at 1 life the entire time, but I just had too many cards in my hand for him to get that last damage through.
Despite, you couldn't fetch the
despite,
rest of the
like,
game.
Man lands and stuff. What's that?
Couldn't fetch the rest of the game either, eh?
I couldn't fetch. Yeah, I fortunately drew into like some of the what's the buddy land, red buddy land.
Sulfur Falls.
Yeah, Sulfur Falls. So I drew into Sulfur Falls. So I had blue and red mana like for Cryptic and everything. So I was good.
Rough play.
It was a pretty fun match. But I got my ass kicked by Affinity in the top 8.
Living the dream.
Affinity seems like a terrible, terrible matchup for Grixis Control. I need a good answer for it.
You have Colgan's Command, Bolts, and Snapcasters.
Yeah, Colgan's Command, Electrolyze, Bolt, or Snapcaster.
But what killed me was the one that's got Metalcraft, Protection from All Colors. And I just got beat down by that over and over again. Yep, Edge Champion.
Hey, you know what? You know how you beat that one? You
Splash all the other white, artifacts.
You splash white and play Crackling Doom.
Oh my god. I would love to. But I'm not going there.
Oh, you should.
So I have two Angers in the sideboard. I play those. I've got Engineered Explosives in the sideboard. I just didn't see that stuff, but those are my answers. And I've got Shatterstorm as well.
And or Vandal Blast also handles it, yeah.
Yeah. So it should be okay, like, in another game, you know, where I draw differently. But it was no problem for him. He just took me down with ease.
Oh, man. The triple Cruel Ultimatum deck. Since you're speaking on Modern, I was looking through the show notes.
All right, let's do it really quick.
The triple Cruel Ultimatum wacky Grixis deck you put in here.
Yep.
I'm excited about this one. This is pretty.
So I'll leave that in this last conversation here, and that's basically I played last night again at on campus at UWM with a bunch of guys playing Modern, and I ran the blue white control deck because I had it. Yeah, at the eighth note.
Okay.
I had it mostly assembled. You coming down there sometime?
Maybe. There's too many scrubs that play there that I don't really want to waste my time.
Oh, jeez. Okay, they're pretty legit. I mean, they've got legit decks. They're nice guys.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
So, shout out to those guys. Nick is a D-bag sometimes. He calls people scrubs.
Sometimes.
Oh, my God.
So, I played the blue-white deck. I got my butt kicked by John last night, so I was, like, a little bit disappointed. I'm thinking that I need to decide what I'm going to play this weekend because I'm going to SCG Milwaukee. Are you guys going?
I'm going.
Okay, so I'm going to play on Sunday.
Yes, going. Not really. Too far away.
No? Yeah, well, I kind of figured you weren't. Sorry, Daryl. It would be great if you could fly in, though, hey? Maybe the podcast could sponsor your trip.
I will book a flight if the podcast is sponsoring my trip.
All right. Let's make that happen. Just kidding.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted by these Grixis.
All right. So this is one of my choices here. I'm trying to decide between Grixis, which I'm feeling a little butthurt about Affinity, but apparently that's a better matchup than I expected. I've played it before. It hasn't been a problem. Blue-white control, which seems good against the Grixis decks. I've got Path, which is good against Gurmag, Angler, Tasker, and the like, and all that crap. And then this one, which is in the Star City Games IQ. And I'm probably not going to go with this one. Spoiler alert! But this we're going to call Wacky Grixis. David Nunes got third with this one in the IQ. It's got one Grave Titan, four Snaps, end of creatures. That's it. Spells. He's got two Coalition Relic. Now this is weird, but just wait. Three Cryptic Command, two Electrolyze, four Bolt, four Remand, one Slaughter Pact, four Terminate, four Think Twice, three Cruel Ultimatum.
Ding ding ding, ding 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 Coalition ding ding.
Two Inquisitions and two Thoughtseize, and then a slew of lands, including four Tar Pits, which is probably his win condition in a lot of cases if the Grave Titan doesn't get there.
No, the win condition for his deck is Cruel Ultimatum, my friend. Ultimatum, sure. If you haven't cast this card, you have not figured life out. That card... Okay, so I want you to drink that card in. For those of you that don't know the list of the podcast, what this card does, it's like an 11 for one. So target opponent does all these things, and then you do the opposite. So target opponent sacrifices a creature, discards three cards, and loses five life. That's basically five cards. You made them sack a creature, they discarded three cards, and Lava Axe is a card. Okay? So sure. And then you draw three cards, gain five life, and return a creature from your graveyard to your hand. That's a 10 for one. And if that creature that you return happens to be, Snapcaster Mage, you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you kill him. Not any of this Grave Titan creepy Tar Pit shenanigans. It's just straight up ultimatum you, snap ultimatum you, pick up another snap, draw another ultimatum you, and then call it a day. Like,
so is this like a one and done, or is this like here to stay? Is this a thing?
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pretend that those three cruel ultimatums are three other spells that you think are reasonable.
Yes.
And then take them out of the deck and look at the rest of the deck and tell me, is this a control deck you think can beat other people? Ignore the three cruel things.
Yeah.
Put them.
Yeah, sure, I suppose.
You think the control deck is fine, right?
It's really grindy, yeah.
Perfect. So now insert a card that the Jund decks and the Abzan decks can never in their life beat ever.
What? Okay, Claw Ultimatum costs blue, blue, black, red.
I understand that.
And you have zero dispels to back it up in here.
You have Coalition Relic, though. Like, you don't need, like...
This, you can cast it on turn 5 with Coalition.
I'm not worried about the mana cost. I'm worried about mana leak. I'm worried about any other counter spells.
You have Inquisition and Thoughtseize.
You have two Inquisition. You have two how thoughts. Many Thoughtseize? You need those to survive that long.
No, you don't. You have four bolts, four terminate, three electro or two electrolyze, and a slaughter pact.
And those four are going
to get you, and four remands. All of that mess is going to get you through to Thoughtseize you. Oh, you have a mana leak. You don't need more. Untap with a charge count on my relic. Put another charge count on it. Remove them both for black, blue, blue, black, 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 red, red. Ultimatum you on turn 5. You don't have cards anymore, and you're dead. Because I basically drew 5 cards, one of which was a Snapcaster Mage.
So what you're saying is I should play this deck this weekend?
I think if you are afraid of this deck because it plays Cruel Ultimatum, you're wrong. And it's also not the deck for you because the games are going to go too long that you don't think you're ever going to cast Cruel Ultimatum. I cannot tell you, I went 5-2-1 in Jersey with the 5-color control deck.
Yeah.
And I won every single game I played off of the back of Cruel Ultimatum. Like, the card is so good that your opponents can't beat it. Like, you're like, I played it against Splinter Twin and resolved it. I played it against Abzan. I played it against Affinity. Mm-hmm. I played it against everything. I played it against Bloom Type and resolved it. Like, the card is insane and your opponents can't beat it. So you have to sculpt the rest of your deck to put you in a position to cast it. And that's it. You're done.
And this is like the deck that like beats all the other Grixis decks. Like,
because it has a Grave Titan. Like, you draw this Grave Titan, and so they like terminate it, and you get 2/2 zombies. And then you're like, alright, Inquisition you. You don't have anything. Cruel Ultimatum. Get back my Grave Titan.
Yep.
Play my Grave Titan. Make 2/2 zombies. Are you dead yet? No? Alright, sweet. We'll continue doing this until you're dead.
Right, so if you think this is, if the format's all Grixis, like regular Grixis, then I think you always want to be like the turn slower deck than they are, and this is definitely slower and a much more grindier deck than they can play.
So alternatively, I'm thinking of putting a Grave Titan in my main deck, Grixis Control.
What was the meta at Madison?
In Madison, I played Jund, Infect, there was probably 2 or 3 Affinity decks. I played the blue-white control. I played, I think I played a twin deck. I saw at least 2 twin decks, evil twin.
Also, if you're going to play against Jund, this deck is insane because it has 4 think twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, 4 think twice plus 3 cruel ultimatum and 3 cryptic command plus 4 snapcaster mage. Just buries Jund in so many cards they can never get out. You just like, all right, you thought seize me and took my terminate. Think twice. All right, think twice again. All right, kill your things. Oh, I drew a cruel ultimatum. You can't beat this card. Here you go.
All right, let's look at this sideboard really quick, though. You see this? It's a singleton, 15 singleton cards. 1 Engineered Explosives, Counterflux, Devour Flesh, Dispel, Negate, Kuranos, Anger of the Gods, Bribery, Deathmark, Dreadboard, Drawn and Sword Out, Duress, Slaughter Games, Sowing Salt, and Vandal Blast. That's pretty creative. You like the bribery in there?
I do like the bribery in there. Awesome. That's pretty cute.
So it's actually insane against opposing Grixis decks.
Bribery?
Yeah, because opposing Grixis decks will be like, oh, I might have to turn into the control deck and bring in their Kuranos.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
And you bribery their Kuranos.
Yeah.
It's pretty good against Tron, too, I hear.
Yeah.
you have an Emrakul.
I have Emrakul.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Unless they have, like, Karn out. Like, that's the only out to it, but, like...
Okay, fine. Good. You exiled your Emrakul. Okay. See you later, Emrakul. But yeah, like I like the different spells. 1 Devour Flesh is like that's a concession to Boggles. Otherwise, like I like the bribery. That's cute. The Slaughter Games and the Sowing Salt are cute. I am wondering if this Dreadbore should be an ultimate or not ultimate price of Heroes Downfall. I don't know if the sorcery speed versus instant speed matters. Might just be because Karn eats a land and then you kill their card. But, there's not a ton of, there's not infinity black mana in the deck. Because I could see definitely playing, like, Hero's Downfall to have an instant speed answer to play Pokers. So, and having this spell be, like, an actual instant speed spell. But I guess you just like bump a Terminate out for a Dreadboard and some matchups. So. Yeah, I like the sideboard. Like, this deck is sweet and I want to play it because Coalition Relic is gas.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, you want to take it away, man? Star City Games Commander Celebration.
I don't know if I'm offended or enthused. I mean, I'm not going to GP Atlanta, for the record. Not going. Oh. Don't want to GP in ATL. Even though it's Battle for Zendikar Limited, I'm just not interested.
So what you're going to tell me is it was Battle for Zendikar Limited, and now they've changed the format to Commander?
No, it's still Battle for Zendikar Limited. Oh, okay. So gotcha. They have a registration. It's like a side events badge, and it's really weird. So it's a 3-day Commander celebration.
Uh-huh.
I linked it in the show notes. I'll go over it quickly. It's a $75 payment, and you get all of the following things. You get exclusive access to the Command Zone, which is basically a designated area for Commander game badge or Commander celebration badge holders that can play 4-player Commander games with some of the most famous people in the Commander format, like Sheldon Mennery, the guy who invented it, Benny Smith, who's wrote 2 books on it now, Danny West, who is a Star City Games like Commander aficionado. And for those of you that don't read a lot of Star City articles on the select side, he recently got cancer, and he's currently cancer-free. So, like, it's okay. Like the inspiration story. He's a really cool guy, too. He's very funny. Like, he's got some Commander videos. Like, they do the Commander Versus. Some of the very first Commander Versus videos were him and another guy doing them. And he's got a pretty good sense of humor. He's a fun Magic player, so cool guy to hang around. Commemorative badge and lanyard featuring Xur the Enchanter. 8 free 4-player Star City Commander on-demand side events. So, like, the $5 Commander Pods winner gets all the dollars. You get 8 of those for free. Entry into all 6 Swiss format Commander events, which I don't know what those are, and I'll take a look at those real quick. A digital copy of The Complete Commander, which is the book that Benny Smith wrote. A Star City Games VP Atlanta playmat. The Star City Games SCG Live trading cards, whatever those are.
Tokens.
Yeah, I know. A month of premium, and then you can just pick up your registration awards whenever. So, but yeah, so it's 3 days of that set. 3 days, all those things, $75.
Okay.
And then let me figure out what the hell if I can figure out what the Commander Swiss events are, I would love to. So there's just like Swiss format. Okay. Swiss format 1v1 Commander events. Yeah, this is weird. So Swiss format 1v1 Commander and Swiss format Commander pods based on record. And then so if you win a pod, you get 5 points. Second gets 3. Third gets 1, fourth gets 0. And so there's one of those each day at a different time. So you get to play all 6 of those events and try and get prize wall tickets to get prizes from the prize wall, which is a thing, and I don't know what's on it. But that's the Commander experience. That's weird. Thoughts. What do you guys think?
Don't play Commander.
Yeah.
I mean, like, do you think this is a thing that's like, actually reasonable for Commander players is my question. Like
I think Commander players will buy into it, but man, I think it's a lot of money to spend on a format that was designed to be casual, you know? Like,
so
all
I mean,
these
like
8 sanctioned 4-player events, that sounds ridiculous.
They're not sanctioned. If you've ever been, like, I mean, they kind of are sanctioned, but if you've ever been to like a Star City Games event or a GP, like, there's side events where just, like, 4 random guys sign up to play Commander Pod, and then, like, a judge is like, you guys are in this Commander Pod. Whoever wins gets X packs. Whoever, like, knocks first out gets X packs, whatever. Go play Commander. And then they just, like, go play Commander. And, like, the rules are enforced, but it's, like, just, like, 4 people will hang out and play Commander. Or, like, the winner gets $20. Like, it's winner take all, and whoever wins the pod gets $20, and they play another Commander Pod. Like, so they're pretty, like, relaxed, but they're not, like, so they're not, like, super strict. Like, I'm interested to see what the Swiss and dual Commander, like, side events, like, those events look like. But each one of those events costs $10. So, like, you're getting your money's worth when it comes to the event registration, because you're getting $40 worth of events, on the side events side, plus $60 worth of Commander side events, like the Commander Swiss events. So you're getting $100 worth of events for $75. So the question is, like, you know, then you get all the swag. But, like, if you're a Commander player, are you making the adventure for this? Like, to meet some cool people and then, like, get to play these events? I'm interested. I'm interested to see how many people buy the three-day Commander Pass. Like, it just, it was very interesting to me. Like, what exactly is happening there. So I just thought I'd bring it up and say, you know, this is the thing that's happening. Thoughts. So if you, like, cash the Commander side events, you get, like, the ticket wall, you can get like Commander 2014 decks, the box of Planeswalkers, like the black ones, mm-hmm. If you do well enough. You can get a Commander's Arsenal, which is like those foil Commander cards that had like the foil Sylvan Library and stuff like that in it. I'm just kind of listing off like the most expensive stuff that you could get. A World Wake Fat Pack from the Vault 20, from the Vault Relics. So, I mean, there's like some kind of cool stuff that you can get. I just don't know how many people are going to buy into the full amount of right. insanity. You
right,
know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a high cost. And if you think about how long a game of Commander lasts, like, there's no way you could possibly, like, do everything that you are admitted to. You know, like those games, a good game goes on for 2-3 hours, right? You've got to eat.
Not necessarily. Like if people like Commander players are very good at being efficient. Like, I'm gonna search while you take your turns and put this land into play, or I'm gonna Demonic Tutor and pass, and I already know what I'm getting. Just go. Nothing's going to change it. Like, so Commander players are very good at taking their shortcuts and speeding the game along. And a lot of times, the first like 4 or 5 turns aren't really doing it.
Right.
So like, you get through those turns in, like 2 minutes, and then it's like, well, okay, we get into the meat, and then like someone can take control and like win the game very quickly, if nobody has the right pieces to line up. So like. Commander games can go an hour if they're, like, very long games. But sometimes it's just, like, just a beatdown. Like, I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah. All right, can we blast through the rest of this? We got to wrap it up. We're at an hour and 11 right now, so.
Yeah, sure.
I talk about. And sorry I took so long with the spoilers. I will forfeit my front spot next week.
You suck.
I know,
you're like
I do.
The host, though, and everybody else is just sub-hosts.
No, you're the host.
Oh, I'm hosting them?
Yeah, you're the host.
Welcome, this is Card Knock Live. This is episode 19.
All right. I think that both me and Nick wanted to talk about the GP. I just wanted to talk about the number one spot. Lantern of Insight, lighting the way again. I just questions about the deck, just like random. You know, is this deck too weird for Modern? Is it too obtuse? Like, should they ban something from it? Not because of, like, the fact that the deck is, like, too powerful. You know, nobody can beat it. It's just, like, it's a very obtuse deck that has a very strange plan of attack that, like, you have to play a certain way against. And then, like, even if you do those things, it doesn't matter. It takes all the fun away from the game of Magic. Like they're just like, oh, you can have a shitty thing and, like, have all these... not good things, and all the good things go away. So, like, it's such an obtuse and strange deck. Like,
yeah, it's so weird.
Is it a deck that's bad for Modern? Just, like, based on the player experience?
Apparently not. How many rounds are in a GP?
I'm not saying the deck isn't powerful. I'm saying...
Should it be banned because it's so weird because it attacks at a different angle than every other deck?
Because, like, the angle is so obtuse, and it doesn't necessarily lend itself to quality games of Magic for both players.
All right. Well,
I think that's
what
like
logic.
Defines Modern right now.
Right,
like
right.
Nobody has fun playing Modern because it's either like everybody's turn three-ing you, or there's a Karn out turn three.
I mean, those are like the super obtuse decks, but like
right. But I feel like there's so many of those decks in Modern like that this deck fits the norm in Modern. Like there's Affinity, there's Tron, there's Bloom Titan. There's Infect,
sure.
There's Burn. Like, they all attack at different angles. And, like, there's not... that's a good portion of the metagame.
Tron attacks and Bloom attack at different angles. But, like, the rest of them are just aggro decks that attack with creatures that you can catch and rule as well against. Which is what a lot of the format boils down to. Like, Bloom and Tron are the exception there. And then there's just, like, this deck that does nothing reasonable, nothing normal. It's like Dredge... Like, if you ever played against, like, the argument that people have against Dredge in a lot of formats is, like, there's plain Magic and then there's Dredge. Dredge does nothing normal. It plays not even a reasonable game of Magic. And then all of a sudden, you're dead.
I mean, but you can consider this like a combo deck, though.
Yeah.
Well, you just assemble the combo and you win.
This deck is like Dredge to me. So, like, it doesn't even come close to playing a normal game of Magic. And then it just, like, it dredges you. And you've been dredged or dead. So, like, that's my thing. Like, this is basically the Dredge of Modern. Like, if you don't come prepared to beat this deck, you're never going to get close to this deck. And so, I don't know if it's healthy for Modern with the unbelievably obtuse view people have of Dredge in Legacy. They hate it. It's just like, well, I hope, people just take the thing of, like, I'm going to be prepared for Dredge, or just, like, hope I never play Dredge, and if I do, I can never win in the history of ever. And, like, I don't know if a deck like that is good for Modern to have.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it's going to be bannable because it's so awkward, because, like, it's not... I mean, it did win the GP, so I can't say it's not powerful, but, like, it's not popular enough to be banned yet, because there is no...
So neither was Storm, really, but it was...
Storm was pretty relevant.
It was relevant online, and then, like, some of the best players in the world were playing it because they're the best players in the world, and Storm rewards super tight play.
But like, that deck, like, that also wins, like, turn three, or had the ability to win turn three.
So if you ever played against the Lantern deck, you're dead on turn three. Like,
you're not dead, you just are dead, you don't know it.
Exactly, but you're dead. And so then you have to, like, work your way through the game of, like, being under this Ensnaring Bridge, and you're like, man, I hope I draw my out to Ensnaring Bridge, but you're never going to draw your out to Ensnaring Bridge because your opponent knows what you're drawing every turn. So, like, hope I get lucky, but I can't possibly get lucky, and so it had to be in my hand. So, like, you're playing this game where you're dead on turn three, but... And it could take just as long as a Storm player takes to kill you, because they have to, like, do all this math and go through all these motions to, like, play Storm. And this is Storm in a much slower and obtuse manner that you don't know you're dead until you're dead. With Storm, you at least know, like, they cast a ritual and you just go, ah, damn, I'm dead. Hope they mess it up. Same thing here with this deck. Like, except the bad people don't know they're dead. And they can't mess it up. Because you just go, oh, that's a card that I can't beat. You don't have it anymore. Like, so I think this card is of the same power level, that it's so obtuse. And, like, so people are dead on three or four, like, once you establish the bridge lock, but they don't know they're dead.
Right.
And so the awkward part of this is they don't know they're dead. And the deck has some, like, awkward mechanical motions that if you don't play with it very much, it gets to a very eggsy sort of, like, very slow, very grindy. Sometimes you have to eggs for value to grind your opponent out. And so it gets into that time barrier. I also think that if you're not super efficient with the deck and know all the lines of play and know how to play with it, you're going to go to time a bazillion.
And right. So I think the guy in Swiss never drew a game, though. So I think, like, if you're proficient with the deck, it's fine. But
well,
I agree.
It's the same thing with eggs, but they banned eggs because...
Eggs also took, like, they're, like, turn five and rounds. Like, it could also just, like, take 20 minutes to do one turn. Like, there's no one turn in this deck where it's going to take 20 minutes, so tournaments aren't going to take forever. Like, each turn is going to take, like, 14 seconds, but there's 42 turns is the problem.
Which amasses to the amount of time that eggs takes.
Correct, but if you go to time, you can't go to, like, a 70-minute round. It's only going to be a 55-minute round.
Right, but, like, there's this point, and then you get into the argument of this clear point that you're never going to win because of the board states. And then you get into these weird arguments. And so, like, I think that, like, I think the deck is bannable just because it has so many weird obtuse angles. I don't hate the deck. I love the deck. I would play the deck if I had Lantern of Insight, but I'm not willing to spend $5 on the card. I just on principle. But, like, if the deck is sweet, I just think it probably should be banned. Because I can't ever believe it would be good for the health of Modern.
I don't know. It's a combo deck. It's whatever. I don't... Like, because it also, like, just loses to, like, an aggressive start. Like, if anybody does, like, Goblin Guide, they just, like, lose, right?
Bridge, go. Abrupt Decay, go.
Yeah.
I mean, you have four Sun Droplets in your sideboard for a reason. Like, your burn matchup is kind of soft. but they have to get a quick start and hope you don't breach them.
Right. I mean, they can burn you out then, but yeah, Sundrop's pretty good.
Yeah, they can burn you out, except for if you establish the lock, they're just like, oh, it's a burn spell, no thanks. Oh, it's a thing that targets a creature? Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think I need to, like, play against it more. I've only played against it, like, once or twice, and it's, like, I play decks with Noble Hierarchs and Quasali Pride Mages, so, like, it's fine for the decks I play.
Yeah, I've played it on Modo, and, like, there you can beat a bridge, but, like, 80% of the time you can't beat a bridge.
All right, I'm back. Can you guys talk about everything you just talked about again?
No.
Welcome to Karnak Life, episode 19.
We talked a lot about the Lantern deck and like how I think it's bannable because it's so like it's like the dredge of modern.
No, like, it's okay. I'll listen to the thing.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had any opinions on the Lantern deck. Like, is it bannable? Does it offend you? Is it bad for the health of modern?
Whatever. I think it's too soon to tell. I mean, like, we'll see what happens. Like, if people start playing it, like, ad nauseum and we have to deal with Lantern, then that's a thing. But right now, no one really has sideboard prepared for it. And so, I mean, you didn't expect to see it take down a GP, right? So now we might think about that a little bit more. Sure. And have some answers to it. Not to say that there really are any answers to not being able to draw cards that are useful to you. I don't know. What can you do? I don't know. Let's leave it, though. We got to move on. So, Nick, you want to wrap things up?
There was four Naya collected companies at the GP Top 32. That's all I really wanted to care about.
There were how many?
Four in the Top 32.
Oh, sweet. And so, how many more?
So, wait a minute. We banned Birthday Pod to let our collected company overlords take over.
Oh, yeah. They're different decks.
So we banned Birthing Pods and let our collected company overlords take over.
All right, so we've got Elves Company, we've got Naya Company, we've got Malaria Company. They all do very different things, you know? It's okay.
Same thing with the Birthing Pod decks. They all did different stuff.
Not really. They're all the same, like, they have all the same toolbox cards. They all combo off.
There was Kiki Pod, there was Abzan Pod, there was Bant Pod. Like
Bant Pod, and they is all Kiki Pod, isn't it?
No.
What was Bant
Pod? There was just like a Bant Pod deck that just like played value and some Titan and image and stuff like that.
Oh. Yeah, that wasn't a real deck, Daryl.
But they all kind of perverse the same strategy, which is just create these value creatures that eventually there's something that overwhelms you and you die.
Right, that's what I'm saying. These ones don't.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I mean,
there's
okay.
Tarmogoyf and Knight of the Reliquaries, they don't really value you. They just like
a 2-for-1 is the definition of value. And when they're 2 5-6s, it's pretty hard to beat.
You've got your go wide decks, your go fast decks, and your combo off with Malaria decks.
Okay? All of which are fueled by the same card.
They are, but they play out differently. That's what I'm saying.
And they're like fine because like there's decks playing turn 3 Karns or like killing you with Infect turn 3. So like that's fine. Random dudes off the top of your library, I think, is more than fair.
Same thing with Pod. If their decks are killing you on turn 3, then like putting a random dude into play with a limit on mana cost is fair. But they banned Pod. Like
Pod tutored. Tutoring's huge.
But it tutored for a very thin margin of creatures, whereas Collecting Company hits a large margin of creatures. And you can get multiples of the same Collecting Company, where you have to have 2 activations of Pods. But they banned Pod. Like, I have a feeling they're going to ban this card. I'm not saying that Pod is fair. I'm saying that they're probably banning this card.
One day, maybe. Currently, I don't see it as any detriment to the format whatsoever. I think it promotes fair decks. We've got a lot of fair decks out of it. And if anything, we're going to ban some of the combo decks. But I don't see that happening either. I think Modern is just fine with how it is.
I'm saying
less Boggles, less Infect.
I'm saying this is on the like watch list. Like, this card is a card to watch out that could get banned.
Sure, as is anything that's playable in a Modern deck, though. You know, like they're.
I disagree. There are certain cards that just won't get banned. Like Tarmogoyf won't get banned. Like inherently fair. No, inherently fair card won't get banned. Like Collective Company.
I think every deck's got a card that's on the watch list. Every deck's got a card that could get banned. But that all matters in how you know.
I don't
how
think
many
Burn
numbers.
Has a card that could get banned.
You don't think so?
No. Eidolon.
I can see Eidolon.
No, way too fair.
Okay.
way too fair. Yeah, Burn doesn't have a card that can get banned. Grixis doesn't have a card that can get banned. I don't think that
any of them... Snapcaster Mage.
Oh, that card, yeah, that card's pretty good.
He's an okay card.
Yeah, not bad. Turn blue.
Kolaghan's Command?
No, Kolaghan's Command never getting banned. Affinity has a card that can get banned. Pretty much every
Ravager could get banned, right?
I said that. Affinity has a card. I was like through all the decks in my head, like, yeah, pretty much Burn is the only deck I can see with a card that's not getting banned.
And Soul Sisters.
That's not a deck.
Right. It kind of is.
Nope. We're done here.
All right, can we wrap up? This is a long one. I've got to go to Frisbee. That's my non-Magic. Frisbee. I got to go play Frisbee tonight.
I'm playing League of Legends as we speak.
All right, so that's Nick's non-Magic. There about a second and a half for your non-Magic. Go.
I'm going to go play Blackjack this weekend.
All right. Daryl, always hit. Always hit.
Always not hit.
True. No matter what.
If you have 20, hit.
You can hit without pressing.
Certainly not true. Certainly not true.
I read a book about Black Deck, and it said, always hit. No matter what. Always hit.
Who wrote it? Ike Turner?
No, man. I didn't read a book. Come on. All right. That's it. That's it for episode 19. We don't have to do all our bumpers, Daryl, because we got that.
Thank God. Yep. I'm tired of doing it.
All right, good night, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Card Knock Life. We're proud to be a part of mtgcast.com. For more information, more content, you can find us at cardknocklifepodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at card_knock_life. See you next time.